This recording, England 43, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in the North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprisingly, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an old choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administrated Eva. Her effort was not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped off with a cloth and laid it on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, I was born in Manchester on the 16th of March, 1967. Manchester is a big town, famous for football, either Manchester United or Manchester City, 2 big footballing teams. I was brought up in a little city called Salford, which is within a city, if you can possibly understand that. Manchester and Salford have their own cathedral, so that's why they say it's a city within a city. I was brought up in a middle-class family, just on the old cobble streets. My mother was from Ireland, my father was from England. My mother was from a place in Ireland called Sligo on the west coast of Ireland, a little town called Tubbercurry, which was out in the west. Nothing really going through there, maybe one bus a day. A really, really old town. She came over to Manchester when she was 16, lived there for a while, then moved to London and met my father, and that produced me. So, I mean, I basically started off going to the local primary schools, my brothers and sisters, 3 brothers and 1 sister, you know. And then I started into the sports when I was very young, probably 5 or 6. Started off in goal, in soccer, as in football in England, soccer in America. And then, as from there, I got into athletics. I liked my running, which I enjoyed a lot. And then it just, one thing led to another with the football. I wasn't really interested in the football for a long while. It was just more or less the running and the athletics part of it, which was very interesting for me because it was a kind of a loner sport and I liked to be alone. I was a very shy lad. So I didn't mind running on my own and running in competitions against other people. So it was very interesting. And then I remember one day playing for a school, the primary school was playing football for the primary school, and the teacher turned around and said, "You've got a bit of a talent, Mr. Phelan." I said, "A bit of a talent? What would that be?" "Football, soccer, as they say." So I said, "Well, I only play it for fun. My main sport is athletics." So he said, "Well, maybe you should try playing football a little bit better and a little bit more." So I said, "Well, I only play in the playground, which is like a yard in the schoolyard or the school playground, just kicking the ball about. That was as far as I used to go." So he turned round and said, "Maybe you should try playing for the school football team." And I said to myself, "Well, yeah, I'll have a try of it. It costs nothing. You know, my mother didn't really have a lot of money as and then to buy football boots and to buy football kits. So, you know, it was a big gamble. The gamble paid off because in athletics, I run in bare feet for the school. So, you know, it didn't, and we had our kit from the school, so it didn't cost me parents much money. Whereas the football was a little bit more expensive because you had to have football boots and then you had to have a football and you had to have shin pads. So I said to my mother, "Would it be possible to have a pair of football boots?" So she said, "Well, you're going on a school holiday, so you've got a choice. You've got the school holiday or you've got the football boots." So I picked a £5 pair of football boots. So, you know, and I treated them like they was gold. They never went out of my sight. I cleaned them every night. And that was when I was probably 8 or 9 playing for the primary school. And then it just took off from there, really.